Well, good morning. It is very good to be with you. And whether you are a regular at Spicer Street or just listening in, it's great to be looking at God's Word together with you. So let's pray now as we come to look at this section of Colossians. Father, you are teaching us to treasure the Lord Jesus ever more deeply. Please give us a fresh sense of his greatness. Comfort us and strengthen us in him. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Well, please do turn again to Colossians and let me read to you from chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. I want you to know how hard I'm contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this, that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments, for though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Well, it's been fantastic to hear the youngsters sharing the questions and answers from the New City Catechism, and a wonderful chance to revise what we have been learning together. Thank you to you all. Thank you to Dan as well for teaching us so well over the last year. And thank you as well to the Sunday school teachers for all their hard work. In those few moments, of course, that we had there with the children, we were reminded of the great truths of the Christian faith. That God created the world and that he rules the world. That there is one God, three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We were reminded that we have a huge problem, that we have rebelled against God and we deserve punishment. We asked the question, is there any hope? Yes, there is. The Son has come into the world to be our Redeemer, the one who is fully God and fully man, to pay the penalty for our sin, to deal with sin's penalty and power. And we enjoy that redemption and salvation through faith in Christ. And Jesus is now seated at God's right hand, praying for us, and he will return in glory. And it was just fantastic. I'm just so grateful for that video. Well, what would the Apostle Paul have us say? What would he say to us as we consider those great truths of the faith? Particularly as we think about Jesus, our Redeemer and our King. Well, we're going to look at these opening verses of Colossians 2. And in these verses, God speaks to us through Paul. And Paul here, he's sharing his aims for the church. Do you see that in verse 2? Excuse me. My goal is this, as he writes to this church. Now, the word my goal is not there in the original, but it captures an idea that is there. Paul is saying up to this church in Colossae, I want you to know how hard I'm working for you. For the church at Laodicea as well, how hard I'm working for those I haven't yet met personally. And this is what I want for you. And in the light of all that we have learned in the Catechism, and in the light of all that we have learnt about Jesus in Colossians, we can see from these verses here But God wants four things for us. He has aims for us, goals for us. Four aims. Firstly, in the light of all who Jesus is and has done for us and will do, we are to be encouraged in our hearts. We see that in verse 2. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart. In the very depths of our beings, God wants us to be encouraged, to be strengthened, and to be comforted. And if you have been with us in the Colossians series, you may notice a repetition of ideas. We're coming here at these opening verses in chapter 2 to an end of a section. It began over in chapter 1 with that great prayer where Paul prayed that the Colossians would be strengthened by God's glorious power for all endurance with all patience. And here as he closes out this section, his goal is that they will be encouraged, strengthened in their heart, in their very depth of their being. You see, God knows, and the Apostle Paul knows, that we are prone to lose heart. And I wonder whether you can recognise that and maybe be even true of you now. Does it ever feel for you that it is just too difficult? Do you ever feel overwhelmed by anxiety? Excuse me. We know that feeling, don't we, as youngsters, with that homework we just can't do. Or as adults, we just feel the Christian life is too much. Or some difficulty comes into our life. Maybe we're fretting about COVID, about our own health, about the health of our families or the security of our families. In our hearts, we're just feeling discouraged and overburdened, not sure if we can cope. In fact, one of the biggest threats to the Christian walk is discouragement. And Paul wants us, God wants us to be strengthened in our hearts, to be encouraged in our hearts. We're to think about these great truths, to think about Christ and who he is, where he is and what he will do, what he's already done. And we're to be encouraged as we think about his love, his salvation, that our sins really have been forgiven, that he will return. There is a glorious future, and we are to be encouraged and strengthened and joyful and grateful, of course, in these great truths. Right there at the end of the video, David reminded us of that first question of the Catechism. What is our only hope in life and death? What is our only comfort in life and death? What is our only encouragement in life and death? That we are not our own, but belong body and soul, both in life and death, to God and to our Saviour, Jesus Christ. That is true. And from that we are to derive encouragement, comfort, and strength in the very depths of our beings, in the very core of our personality. So God's first goal, Paul's first aim for the church and for us, is that we be encouraged in our hearts. Secondly, in the light of who Jesus is and all that he has done for us and will do, our hearts are to be knit together in love. Verse 2. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love. And the kind of literal reading is knit together in love. I wonder how you have felt about being away from everyone at church. A good number of us will have missed others, missed our friends. But I wonder as well whether it's not sometimes easier to be away from people. People are funny, aren't they? Other believers are funny. We need people. They need us. But at the same time, we find them difficult and they may find us difficult. And we see here that the gospel brings together people, to get people together, and they are to be knit together even though they may find each other difficult. You see, Christ is in you if you're a believer, and Christ is in me. And the Christ who is in me and the Christ who is in you wants us to be united and knit together in love. And it's very striking as we go on in Colossians how Paul will teach the Colossians how to live together. He just assumes that we will find it difficult and there'll be real challenges. Chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive each other if any of you has any grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. It just assumes that in this Christian community there will be the need for forgiveness, for patience, for endurance, for kindness. He expects there to be difficulties. And you see, that's far from why we can find it slightly easier being away from people. But during this time of COVID, why not reflect on that we have been called to be united and knit together in love. And the body of Christ, and we just can't meet together at the moment, we look forward to the day when we can. Reminding yourself that we have been called to be a deeply loving community, to be united in love, to care for one another, even when we find each other difficult. Think of your members, the members of the church. I think I've been called to love them, to be united in love with them. And I'd encourage you to pray for them, that this, we might have this right response, this right way of living, that we as a people in Christ, Christ in us, would be united in these truths and united in love. Thirdly, in the light of who Jesus is and what he has done for us and what he will do, we are to have a deep and clear grasp of who Jesus is and what he has done for us and what he will do. Paul wants us there in verse 2 to have the full riches of complete understanding, a clear grasp of who Jesus is and what he has done and what he will do. When you're young, you get taught maths. And it is interesting to watch children learn maths. You see, one of the things we do, and I don't know exactly if I'm right up to date with techniques, but obviously you teach children, don't you, to count. You can teach children to count to 10, to 20, to 30. But you can also teach parrots to count. A parrot can count to 10. But you start to do with children what you cannot do with parrots. You teach them number bonds. You teach them how numbers relate. You've got 5 bricks. You take away 3. And they begin to see that if you take away three, I've got two. They understand how three and two relate. And if you put them together, you put five. You have five. You become confident in about how numbers are and how they relate. It's not just you can parrot 1 to 10. You actually understand what those numbers mean and what they relate to. So when you have two bricks and you want to give your parents six bricks, you know how that relates, and you know you need four bricks. You have a clear, children begin to get a clear grasp of how numbers work, how it all functions, and much more than just, I can say the words. Well, as with numbers, as we grow in the Christian faith, we are to develop a deep grasp and understanding of who Jesus is and how it works and what he has done and what he will do. And we begin to see that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, verse 3. And verse 3, I think, is a key verse for the whole letter. In Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Notice it's the phrase hidden. It's hidden in Christ. It's not necessarily immediately obvious. In the first century, it was not obvious that this Jewish man who had died on a cross and had disappeared was anything special. In fact, in the first century, he must have been a complete loser to have been crucified. It was hidden from many, but there in Christ, in Jesus of Nazareth, was all wisdom and understanding. And so it is in our culture. Many can't see it and are blind to it. But there in Christ, hidden from many, is wisdom and understanding. And it's hidden, not so that it's kept from us forever, but it's hidden, but we can seek it, and God needs to open our eyes so that we can see it and find it. And what will we find? What do we find in Jesus Christ? Treasures, the treasures of wisdom and understanding. One of the themes that comes up in literature and films time and time again is the treasure hunt. Famously, the book Treasure Island, with its various offshoots, Muppet Treasure Island and other films as well. We have it within J.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit, getting treasure from under the dragon, finding the treasure that will change my life. A group sets off and they look for it. And here Paul is reminding us that Jesus is the greatest treasure. To find Jesus is to find the greatest riches. And what are those riches? Oh, wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom is knowing how to live in God's world. In understanding, we begin to recognize what our universe is all about and who we are. If we want to know who we are, we go to Jesus. Where did the universe come from? Well, we go to Jesus to understand, and we understand it was created by him and for him. Where is history going? Well, it's going to be Jesus and his return that brings history to an end as we know it. If we want to know God, where do we go? We go to Jesus. If we want to know how we can have our sins forgiven, have our guilt dealt with, we find that in Jesus and in his cross. If we want to know the meaning of life, we go to Jesus. You see, in Jesus is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And God wants us, and Paul wants the Colossians to really grasp that. Not just to say it, for like the number bonds to really grasp it and to be absolutely persuaded of it. To understand how it holds together. To understand creation, to understand redemption, to understand the return of Christ. All those things are in him. And Paul wants us to be absolutely clear in our understanding of Christ. Maybe you are new to Christian things. We'd love to help you find out more, to find that treasure. Please keep coming back and email us through the website. We'd love to be able to answer your questions if we can and help you on that journey. Maybe you are a young Christian. You've kind of got it. You're believing in Christ, but you recognize there's a lot you don't understand. Keep listening in. Keep studying your word. We want to help you to grow so that you are clear in your understanding of who Christ is. Maybe you are a seasoned veteran, or pray that you would deepen in your knowledge and appreciation of who Jesus is. Fourthly and finally, in the light of who Jesus is and what he has done and what he will do, God urges us, and Paul urges the Colossians, to continue in him, to continue in him. Particularly verse 4, because there are dodgy salesmen on the prowl. I tell you this, I tell you all this, Paul in verse 4, so that you, no one may deceive you by fine sounding arguments. They will try and sell you stuff, something that is held out to you under the trade name of wisdom. And the word here in the original is delude by false reasoning. But people will come along and say, well, what you believe there is not right and you need something else. Paul is confident these Colossian Christians are going on well. And he writes so they would not be taken away, would not be deceived, would not be deluded by false teaching that is offering a higher wisdom or a right wisdom. He's very anxious they're not taken away to another brand of the gospel. And those memory verses which were sung to us early, which we've been learning as a church, tell us to continue on in Jesus Christ, built up in him, thankful for him. Now, later on in Colossians, we will get some feel for the wrong teaching that was being offered to these young Christians. But I think it's just worth reflecting that all of the truths that we've, pretty much all of the truths that we've just reflected on in the catechism on that wonderful video, someone has come and attacked those truths at some stage in church history. There is one God, three persons. Well, the Muslims have said God can't have a son. There's a denial there of the Trinity. But offering a spirituality, quite a severe spirituality. Trying to take us away from a belief in the divinity of Christ. There have always been waves of people through history who deny the divinity of Christ, that he is fully God and fully man. In the catechism, we were reminded of the judgment that is to come for those who are outside to Christ. There's always been those who've denied the existence of hell. There have been those who've denied that Jesus Christ came to bear our sins and to take our punishments. There have always been those who have tried to deny that we are simply saved by Christ. And we need good works in order to be saved, to contribute in some way to our salvation. Those who deny that the main way that we grow is in Christ is through the word and prayer, and rather we need some special program, something different. All have come in at various points with fine sounding argument, looking to draw Christians away from their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the call here is to continue in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that Jesus is to us, the one through whom and for whom the world was created. We thank you that he is the great Redeemer, that he dwells in us by his Holy Spirit, that he will return in glory. So Lord, as we think about these things, would you please strengthen our hearts, that we will be encouraged. May we as a church be united in love. Would you deepen our appreciation and help us to see him clearly, to understand him, and to know that in him are all the treasures we need. And may we as a church and as individuals continue in him and not be taken away from him or the gospel. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All grace to you all.